Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
The really underlying point to this that Paul's saying is, listen, there's got to be some stewardship related to the building blocks of a society, and that's family.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church, and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these lessons from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Today, Pastor Herron takes us to the book of Colossians as we continue our series on making a difference with a message entitled, How to Be a Difference-Making Family.
I get lots of emails that come through my box regularly, but this one caught my attention. I showed it to my wife. She said, now that's a guy thing. So let me speak to you guys here because you'll get it right away. But I think you ladies will appreciate the fact that you're going to look at it differently. But hold on to this at the very end because where I'm going with this. Someone sent me the top 10 most expensive cars and what happened to them. I'm going to give you five of those and then draw my point. The first one is a $500,000 Bugatti EB110 super exotic car driven by a mechanic who had done the annual checkup and decided to take it for a spin and hit an oil slick, he said, and wrecked it. A $500,000 car. This is the second one that caught my attention. It's a Mercedes-Benz SL300, $950,000, the gold wing that represents the very finest of Mercedes. And this owner thought it was a good idea to race this million-dollar car in the streets of Mexico in the race La Carrera. And he crashed. $950,000. The third car I want to show you is the Bugatti Veyron. It's just a $1.6 million car. This is the most expensive production car in history. There's only 300 that are expected to be produced. This is the first one ever produced. And the driver thought it was okay to speed at 100 miles an hour in the rain. He had only had the car for 1 week. Now, about now, you women are going to go, this is so stupid. Who would spend that amount of money on a car like that? Stupid guys. That's who would do that. That are pretty rich, actually, and can probably afford it, I would imagine. And then this is a fourth car. This is the Ferrari 250 GT Spider. The owner had stored it because he bought it in an auction on May 18, 2008. And he had it stored near a beach. I think it was Florida, but evidently a hurricane came through and wiped out the storage place and left his little car here. Why this? I don't know. Now, all of these are getting progressively more and more expensive. And I hope you understand, as my mind was going to, where was the stewardship of these guys, okay? This is where I'm headed with this. But this last car as well, this is the Cadillac Escalade. You say, well, how in the world could that be more than $10 million? The reality is, as last estimates, it's probably about a $55 million Cadillac Escalade because it's owned by a guy named Tiger Woods. Now, I say this in light of, and don't miss my point here, that the reality is this particular car, as really the rest of them, are not so much about race cars or rich people. It's about relationships. Because this particular car, as I saw this, you know, I'm not using this for a point of someone else's pain. I'm using this to illustrate the fact. The reality is that we are stewards of our things, but we're also stewards of people. This particular event, sadly, may I say, and then prayerfully for a family that desperately needs the Lord in it all. You have to understand that we all know here, and I think we would all agree, that if we had a tragedy that come through, we would first be looking for people we love in our family. And all of us have family. Most of us have family on this earth, and some have family that's gone on and have very few family, if any, and there are some that have no family physically. But God, in His genius, put the family of God to be able to help meet the needs of family. And our country is wrought with great struggles and difficulties right now. Our country today is not much different than it was in the day of Paul, in which in the text that we're looking at in Colossians chapter 3, you end up finding a society in Paul's day that has similar issues to today as well in our own country. In fact, probably worse. It was a society in which there were multiple appointed judges and leaders. In our case, it'd be likened to our presidents, that they have a rule of control over that country in the day in which Paul was, and they had agendas. They are self-gratification, self-motivation, and self-preservation in many occasions in the day of Paul. There was a huge overbloating and overspending in their budget of more money that was going out than more money that was coming into the Roman Empire in its day. It was in its day in which Paul wrote Colossians that you end up finding a society in which the value of family was being lessened and lessened, and choices and decisions that are made in which there was life not given to life. And in many occasions, in the case of children, that if that child was born and it wasn't a male, that it was left on the side of the streets to be picked up, either to sold into prostitution or sold off to other people for other uses. Even the marriage contracts that were annulled and given away with very little light to the fact of a relationship that should be a commitment. And it was a common practice for men to be able to go to the gym and have other activities besides just the physical, but the sexual. It was common. It was no problem for abortions to be given quickly with methods that were very common in that day in the East. And on that backdrop that is very dark, it is no wonder that in that particular society of Rome, it was not long before the disintegration, the destruction of Rome happened. There's a cycle that historians would recognize that generally is about a 200-year period, give or take a decade or two, in which there was an 8-step digression downward of countries that was noted by historians. And all of these, including, as Charles Ryrie, a very godly man who wrote a Bible and a commentary, noted that the Bible has made it crystal clear that the destiny of many nations, Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, Egypt, and even mentions Russia as well as, of course, Israel, all of them are mentioned in Scripture, but you find the United States no mention. I put that in as a backdrop to understanding this 8-step progression and also a digression downward. This is what the historians note about civilizations and societies. They say they start with number one, bondage. They move to a stage of spiritual faith. And then number three, great courage. Number four, liberty. Number five, there's a time and a period of abundance and wealth and fruitfulness. Then it leads to number six, complacency. Then number seven, there's a stage in which there's apathy. And ultimately, it leads to number eight, dependence. And this is where then that nation will move to the very first stage again, back into bondage. And so the cycle goes. It doesn't take much to notice that America probably is falling somewhere between that sixth or seventh stage, somewhere probably between abundance and complacency, or complacency and apathy. Who cares? That leads to a very dangerous stage in which a country goes into dependence again. Quite frankly, as an American, and that's all I know, it's hard to fathom that for our God-blessed country. But when you look at the decisions that are made today, not unlike those in which Paul had, a devaluing of family, an upswing in moral lifestyles that fully accepted, including homosexuality, an agenda that's being pushed quite rapidly, a bloated economy and the defaulting of our own budget in which we're not out of the woods on. Abortion that, for, as I mentioned earlier in the service, 37 years, 50 million citizens that aren't here today. A position in which we end up finding legalizing of multiple facts, including drugs that are not going to help us, including pot. As I was reminded in my home state of California, which a guy was in front of Target, encouraging people to sign up for the legislation of marijuana. All of this is putting us in a place that when I read this, to say, my word, where in the world is all this going? Now, the immediate response is we should be involved. And I would well say to you that we should and we do, and we end up voicing our concerns in appropriate ways and peaceful manners. And I think that's the way it should be. But I would also say to you that behind all of that, a greater, more immediate response that we can all have is the response that Paul gives to Colossians there in the letter in chapter 3. Because he touches on the application of the real need for a country. It's not greater control, and it's not even a greater measure of accountability, a clearness in relationship to policies. The really underlying point to this that Paul's saying is, listen, there's got to be some stewardship related to the building blocks of a society, and that's family. And I want to emphasize it today because this is exactly what Paul states here in the text. And I'd encourage you to look at it because understand that very simply, the New Testament gives a direction for difference-making families. And it's so very simple and so very clear that we almost, when I read this, it's a mirror to a passage in Ephesians, but it's all on the backdrop of a very black and dark society and civilization in which Paul was writing this. He wrote this about 30 years after he himself came to Christ. The gospel came to the city there at Colossae, a very small Roman colony, about 100 miles from Ephesus on the shoreline. It was one in which slowly Colossae went away because the trade route was changed. Just like many interstates, it bypassed small cities, and eventually the small city is non-existent because the commerce goes by. Well, that's exactly what happened to Colossae, one of three cities in that Lycia Valley. Here you find Colossae and a group of people, and there were Jews in that same city as well, and Rome had it as a little Rome there in Colossae. And he establishes Epaphras, who is probably the guy that got saved, heard the gospel in Rome, took that 100 miles of his home city, presented the gospel, and through that, these people responded to it. And there became heresies about the teaching of who Christ was. And there was a group called the Gnostics, or people that were in the know. They were in the know. They said, yeah, Jesus was alive, but he was just one of many emanations or one of the many displays of who God is, but he's just one of many. So Paul writes a letter, gives it to Epaphras, takes it back to Colossae, and with that, also, there was another guy named Philemon that was a slave owner and had many servants, and one of them, Onesimus, had left, went to Rome, got caught up in the world of Rome, met Paul, got saved, and Paul's now saying, hey, listen, I'm sending this letter back with you, and in addition, I've got a personal letter to Philemon that if he would take Onesimus, who's going back, and accept him, not just as a slave, but as a brother, awesome. This is the backdrop that you find of Colossae, in which Paul now, the first three chapters, chapter 1 and 2, and into part of 3, he mentions the very principles of God's truth that you need to be able to have about who Christ is. Then you find chapter 3, the rest of chapter 3 and 4, giving very practical advice. And the first one that he gives as far as a unit of people, after he mentions the church relationships in chapter 3, he gets to this one, and guess what it is? It's family.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Herron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.